Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO. In accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Executive Committee meets on the second Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify that a meeting is being held.
Why, I'm all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
This is Cesar Chavez. You're listening to KBOO, listener-sponsored radio.
Are listening to Running on Air, produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Running on Air is a daily radio roundtable conversation with the people running to represent Portland. In this episode, we're talking with candidates from District 4. We want you to join the conversation. You can call the air room with questions for candidates at 503-231-8187. You can message a question on the website, That's kbu.fm. And you can also email us your questions at runningonair@kbu.org. Let's meet our candidate for today. And we are here with Joe Alphone. Am I saying it right?
That's correct, yes.
Excellent. Yes. Okay, good. So right into that microphone.
All right.
We're so excited that you're here. Kelly Doyle has not arrived. If Kelly Doyle does show up, we'll bring him into this room, and it'll be fine. But let's get down with Joe. Joe, I want to start out by giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself. What made you run for office? And what do you think is the number one top issue that people in District 4 are dealing with?
The reason why I ran for office is because the ideas that I represent are not represented. I used to live in Austin. I'm from New Orleans, and there once was a time, doesn't seem that long ago, where people were like, oh, I'm moving to Portland, because this seemed to be like some sort of like a place where people would go to find themselves, or artistic community vibe, camaraderie with one another. And I've been here for 2.5 years now, and as we all know, the vibe is just not here. And so the reason why I ran for office is because I have many different public works projects and ideas for representation, for a living wage, for hourly wage workers like myself. I'm a former English teacher from living in China, Russia, South Korea, Malta, and Canada for a number of years. And I've been around the world, and I have many different ideas that I'd like to share with Portlanders.
Excellent, Joe. I just want to pin you down. Like, I hear you talking about issues of poverty. Those are important to you, and living wage and stuff like that. I want to pin you down. What do you think is the number one most important issue facing District 4?
Vibe. I mean, there's no vibe here. It's all about the vibe. If there's not a vibe, then there's no pedestrian traffic. Then there's no people walking around. Small businesses close down. The community just kind of like implodes, dormant, brings about poverty, homelessness, crime. But the graffiti issue, we'll talk about that in a moment. That is actually a very positive thing that is part of my campaign.
All right. I want to hear about that now. We've separated this show into different conversations, and this is the first conversation, and I want to hear more, actually, about what you were just saying. What is it about the graffiti that's positive?
Okay, it's like Basquiat, Jean-Michel Basquiat, in like the late 70s, early 80s, before he linked up with the art community, Andy Warhol and all those and everything, and Keith Haring and whatnot, those guys, they used to publicly deface public buildings. Basquiat's tag was SAMO for same old which, you're welcome. And he publicly defaced buildings, brought him some notoriety, got involved with the art community and whatnot. And as a result of that, then he was seduced by the people that ultimately, like Deborah Harry.
He sort of cashed in on him, really.
They cashed in on his credibility. On his credibility.
Right.
And now his paintings, they're sold, for upwards of like $100 million. And so, Governor Kotek and the current mayor and many people in the city, the prevailing sentiment here is about like, oh, let's demonize these people and make them our scapegoat. As opposed to let's utilize their skills and let's create graffiti walls, public murals, and give these people jobs. The establishment community wants to celebrate one segment and then incarcerate our artists. And this is just wrong in every way.
Right. If you're listening right now, you might feel a little bit confused about what we're talking about. And yet, Joe, what you're saying is completely resonating with me in the wildest way. What you just described about what's happened with Jean-Michel Basquiat is exactly what's happened with the city of Portland. And I'm going to say that, I mean, the cost, you know, it used to be a place where people could afford, right? And then suddenly, like you said, Basquiat's paintings are $100,000.
$100 million.
Of course, you're right.
Yeah, $100 million.
And
so, like, what's up with that?
Right? And so, in other words, he used his artistic credibility. No, he didn't use it. Other people used his artistic credibility to make money. And that is exactly, I think, what has happened
the public in this town. Believing something.
Joe, I want to...
I additionally want to say it's sort of like there's you know, the state legislature of Oregon, they passed a law that if a building is more than 15 years old, that they can charge upwards of 25% for rent increases. And so it's sort of like, you know, without adding any new amenities, without any renovations, refurbishment to the buildings that they live in. So basically, poor people, working class people in this city, they're just like not taken care of. So it's sort of like, wait a second, you know, I want to live affordably in Portland, but, you know, the landowners and the landlords, whatever that means, that those people can raise the rent upwards of 25% after on a 15-year building, giving the public nothing in return. No, thank you.
Hey, and I need to jump in here and say we are joined by Kelly Doyle.
Yeah.
You are listening to Running on Air. This is one of our roundtables on District 4. And Kelly, we've already had an introduction to Joe. And I wanted to, we're starting out. Allow me to ask you, who are you? Why are you running for office? And what's the most important thing that District 4 faces?
Well, I'm Kelly Doyle, and I'm an attorney. And I've been an attorney in Portland for 40 years.
Okay. He's looking incredulous. He's giving me a look like, really? I feel that way too.
Well, and the reason I'm running is I'm one of the few indigenous peoples running, in that I was born in Portland and I've lived all my life in Portland.
But you're not Native American?
Actually, on my mother's side, I possibly am.
Possibly. Okay, I just wanted to be clear.
And I'm a member of the Grand Ronde Tribal Bar, so
okay. That's great.
I consider that pretty indigenous.
Okay.
And I went to Lincoln High School, Reed College, and Willamette Law. And when you say, what is the main problem facing District 4, I'm afraid I came in at the wrong time, and that my wife and I, before she passed, in 2012, we moved into an apartment, and I have recently been evicted, locked out, not for non-payment of rent, but just for a variety of reasons. So I'm now living in my office on Barber Boulevard, which is exciting. Not.
You like Harry Bosch. You're like a character from a Tom Connelly. I'm sorry, go ahead. Like a Tom Connelly character. Go ahead.
Who's Harry Bosch?
He's a character from this really famous murder mystery writer that you've obviously never heard of, which is fine. But it's not so unusual, I'm just saying. And yeah, we have a lot of people who can't afford to live in a home in this town.
Well, I can't afford to live there, but I was evicted because it's for a variety of reasons. But that's, I just happened to mention it because it's kind of irksome because... you know, we've owned apartments in the past and everything, and Susan and I, we moved into our apartment on Hume Street just before our son passed, and he passed in 2012, the day before Thanksgiving. Traffic was really bad this morning. Did I mention that?
I know. It's been one of these days. Like I said, the solar...
I almost got hit by a car on the way here.
Yeah.
Which is a regular occurrence, actually.
What happened?
I almost got hit by a car. I walk everywhere. I don't drive. And so I try to bring vibe to the city by just being one of these pedestrians. But yeah, I almost got hit by a car.
We're going to go back to Kelly and say, what is the single most important, and don't slurp beverages into the microphone, what's the most important issue facing District 4 that you want to take on?
Well, before, I still think it's houselessness. There's so many. I guess I have a face for radio, but a voice for TV. But District 4, as I'm sure your listeners know, is all of the west side and just a skosh of the east side. And one of the real problems facing District 4, apart from houselessness, is just connecting. Because it seems to be a whole pocket of little neighborhoods. I was talking to someone the other day, and he lives in the Pearl, which is so special. And I remember when it was railroad yards, so I'm...
They were
I'm
rusted rail. It was a brownfield.
And I remember when the Northwest was sort of a transportation hub. It had consolidated freightways, many trucking companies, and that's all gone. You have a lot of freeway ramps, and there's, I want to say Linton, which is far northwest. And
because District 4 is a strange district, and it includes, I feel like, a lot of rich people and a lot of not rich people.
Well, that is true of almost all of Portland, to be honest with you.
Well, it's also true nationwide, the Democrats, Republicans. That's what's so great about this race is that it's nonpartisan. I mean, like, there doesn't have to be, like, districting to favor anyone. So, good for you, Portland.
And I have to admit that I am a Democrat.
Because, I am not.
No, that's fine.
Or a Republican. I worked on two Ralph Nader for President campaigns. I don't choose a side. I like to be a bridge between both sides.
All right. We have Kelly
ahead.
Has the
No worries. But when my wife had just finished grad school and I had just passed the bar, we were going to a Baptist church, which is no longer Baptist, here in Southwest Portland. And my mother-in-law, cross my heart, said, you and Kelly need to get together because you're the only two Democrats in the church. And Susan said, this is the 80s. He hasn't asked me yet. I mean, he hasn't asked me. And my mother-in-law says, Susan, this is the 80s. And she asked me out to dinner. And we went to a Denny's. Anyway, another problem Portland's facing is just connecting with people. There's a lot of loneliness. The West Side has a lot of students. A lot of transient people coming and going. So District 4, I digress a lot.
No, you're not digressing at all because, and I am going to shift gears in a minute, but I have a little Rosetta Stone here, and I actually, when Joe says that he thinks the biggest issue is the vibe, I think that's actually what you're saying too. Like the vibe, the energy, like just being there is different. The way people relate to each other is different. There's no third places, right? Where do you go to hang out? That's not a bar, right?
This it's is all fascinating. About the third spaces, for
this
sure.
is fascinating. You're saying the same thing using totally different language. And Joe's kind of a newcomer, although anyone who's from New Orleans is a long-termer in any other city in America. I'm just saying that. Joe's a newcomer, and you've been here for a few minutes. That fascinates me. You're both saying the quality of life. That's kind of what I hear you saying.
Oh. And I like the, and I think both of us love the quality of life here. I mean.
You mean you and Joe?
No, I mean Portland.
Oh, okay.
Very few of us have been born in Portland, raised in Portland. I mean, one of the reasons I'm running for city council, and I hope this is not too risque for the cable listener.
No sexual or excretory functions can be mentioned. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I'm 68 years old, and do you know how exciting it is to be a virgin at anything? Including
that's probably going to be the quote that goes on your meme there, Kelly. I'm going to shift gears here because we have to go on to conversation blocks too. Yeah, go ahead.
10 seconds. Well, yeah, just the Northwest Cultural Community Center. It's been closed down for 5 years now. It's on Northwest Everett and 18th Street in my neighborhood. And it's just sort of like, hey, you know, it used to have Loaves and Fishes and Food Not Bombs and the Gray Panthers. And it's like, we're talking about third space. And it's just sort of like, hey, well, where's my community center? when wealthy and upper and middle class people have plenty of third spaces, what about poor and working class people? So yeah, Novi, because they do not allow it. Yeah, private developer, hotel and whatnot, but no, it just sits there dormant, collecting weeds on it and whatnot, and it's just like, that's a problem.
Who is they when you say they won't allow
the establishment?
Who constitutes the establishment?
The people that run the show, the people that funnel unlimited money and contributions and think that money buys votes, the people that just have all these connections to corporate CEOs. Okay. And yeah.
Okay. Okay. You are listening to Running on Air, a production of KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Today, we're speaking with candidates from District 4. I have here with me Joe Alphone and Kelly Doyle. Join the conversation by calling in your questions to the air room at 503-231-8187 or by messaging us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. And don't wait until the last 10 minutes. Do you hear me right now? Let's get back to our discussion. We're shifting gears a little bit.
Well, I did want to comment. It's a little interesting.
No, we're shifting gears.
I'm into a community center. Is that I go to a church over in Northwest Portland, right in your area, Trinity Cathedral, which
right
is just catty-cornered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just find it interesting that we all have to get community, but we do it in different ways.
We're still talking about the vibe. I want to shift to climate change, if we could, but I want Joe to say one last thing about the vibe.
It's not here.
Rock on. Rock on. He's saying the vibe isn't here. Honestly, Joe, when you first started talking about that, I wasn't sure what you were talking about. And now it's hitting me like a sledgehammer. You're articulating this better than anyone else that I've heard. So, but anyway, we're shifting gears and we're talking about the climate now. The KBOO News Department surveyed our listeners to find out what they think are the most important issues facing our city. At the top of the list was climate change. What impact do you think climate change is having in Portland? And is this a priority of yours, Joe?
So yeah, I lived in Beijing in 2012. I lived in China for a number of years, but I was there during the airpocalypse of 2012, where it's like you literally could not see more than a couple of feet in front of you. And this went on for weeks and months, and it was just like a real problem. The Chinese government, they did everything that they could to shut down the coal-powered plants there and whatnot. And now, as a result, the air quality of Beijing has improved exponentially. What does this mean to Portland? It's like, okay, we need to have public officials that actually take air quality environmental issues, such as my former boss, Rolf Nader, who I worked on two presidential campaigns with him, people that actually like really care about the environment and not catering to the highest bidder, the people that just pollute and just do not give anything in return. Sorry to be so general, but yeah.
Not
that's
at all.
Pretty,
if we,
okay. Yeah.
If we got time, we'll talk about the Zenith Terminal later. Kelly Doyle, what impact do you think climate change is having in Portland, and is this a priority of yours?
I don't think that you can be a breathing human being and not have climate change mean something. Portlanders are actually very cognizant of these issues, in that what is happening is that we see a lot of people changing cars to electric. Portland has a huge market for electric vehicles, which would surprise other people. The first Rivian I ever saw was a few years ago, and I talked to someone and they said that's a brand new vehicle. Portlanders are trying to achieve climate change. Now the other thing, of course,
you mean they're trying to stave off climate change?
No, they're trying to achieve climate change.
Okay, can you explain that?
I was trying to.
Okay.
They're trying to achieve climate change by adjusting their behavior. More people are taking transit. More people are driving cars that are less polluting. People are trying to mitigate those issues. Climate change is absolutely vital to all of us. I drive. And for many years, when I lived on Corbett Avenue, which I lived on before I was in Multnomah Village, I took transit all the time. I still take transit, and probably I was thinking it would have been a lot quicker to take transit today than drive.
So, but the question is it a priority of yours?
The reason that I am running for city council is that there's a new change. None of us know how this is going to work. My main priority will be to get communication among the 12 of us. You know, we're going from a weak mayor system to a city manager, and then the mayor, the mayor thinks, what we're going to end up with Jesus and the 12 disciples, to be kind of blunt about it. And there are so many priorities. You mentioned the terminals in Northwest.
The Zenith, it's
huge.
Well, you know what? Let's give him another minute. We'll go back to you.
And no one knows how to handle that. We're working. There's many different options. Just yesterday or the day before, Judge Jones, a retired circuit judge, circulated a letter to have those of us sign it, trying to get DEQ to mitigate the Zenith terminals, to deny different permits. And that's a start.
Okay.
And the other, I mean, if I had my way, what we would do is just let them build houses on the Zenith terminal and see what they would do. Because how do you motivate private industry to do what they should do and should have done 50 years ago? My question.
I have a feeling Joe might have an answer to that.
Well, I was just going to say that, the Ujimaya supermarket that was supposed to be built in Chinatown that never occurred, and then it went out to Beaverton. And, it's like they brought the MAX train in there to try and, if we, bring public transportation, then, this will bring the business community, and then people will not drive their cars, and people will walk, and then there will be a vibe in the city. And then as a result of there not being an anchor in that neighborhood, look at Chinatown now. Despicable. Absolutely. And it's just sort of like, it's not enough for, oh, and by the way, the car that almost hit me on the way here, it was a Prius.
So I think we're going to go to a quick music break and take a breath here in the studio. We'll be right back. Support for Running on Air comes from KBOO members and the League of Women Voters. More information about the candidates on your ballot can be found on the League of Women Voters of Portland's website, lwvpdx.org. The League has videos of candidate interviews and forums, as well as links to candidates' written answers to questions and explanations of ballot measures. That's wvpdx.org. And we are back with Joe Alphone and Kelly Doyle. I've met so many people in this activity. I'm stunned by how many people are running for office. A lot of people think that traditionally there's only two or three presidential candidates, but traditionally when there's a presidential election, there's like 400 people. And there's one event that they've traditionally used to have, like held it in the Midwest, where every single solitary presidential candidate was invited and allowed to speak. And it took days. It's a big deal, kind of like a great big convention. But we do have a question from a caller, and it's going back to the environmental issues that we talked about. Tawasi wants to know if you guys are concerned about the big fuel depots there in Linton and the risk they present if a big earthquake hits. Would you like to start?
Well, absolutely. That's one of the things we've been discussing all the time. And it's terrifying. I will defer for a bit. I mean, they're terrifying.
All right. So, yeah, I lived in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, and it's sort of like, nature, with a capital N, is very strong, and it kind of like makes us realize just how we are just a speck here on the planet, and that it's the planet that actually makes the decisions of how we run our lives, not the people that proclaim to have all the answers, because I don't have all the answers. And if somebody's trying to convince you running for public office or holds public office or has billions of dollars or trillions of dollars representing a company, no, they do not represent you, and it's the earth. And so it's sort of like, earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and many, many things of nature are going to happen that affect us. And so all we can do is say, hey, let's all work together. Let's not be like, let's not cut off each other as we're driving to try and evacuate or to make our plans. It's pretty simple.
Portland has very mellow weather, except when it doesn't. My anniversary is coming up, and we got married on Columbus Day, which is now Indigenous Peoples Day.
Very nice.
Back in 1962, there was a huge Columbus Day storm, and it uprooted trees and everything. And my Susan, she used to say, you know, people would say, you know, you and Kelly are in for stormy weather. And we did tend to lock horns a little bit. But Susan said, oh, no, we're just discovering new worlds. And I think that is what we have to do, especially on certain climate issues. The terminals, anybody... I was talking to someone the other day, and they were going down to the coast down 30, and they did not even know that there were terminals and tanks there. They had no idea. And I said, but they've been there for eons, and there used to be an
generations.
Was it a train station or whatever that they recently took out? And I used to drive by that, and I say, that's a lovely old building. Why? But now that they've taken it out, you'd think that more people would know the issue. But still people are ignoring it. And that's one thing that Portland is filled with, is ignored issues. I forget, I've been getting so many different surveys and questions. I'm not even sure I answered the League of Women Voters survey, but I did do the video. You know, what is the main issue facing Portland? You know, it was Channel 6, I believe, and they said, what is the main problem that you will address? And one of the reasons I'm running is Portland, in my opinion, does not have problems. It has opportunities. There is there's so much possibility in this city. I love Portland. And since one of the reasons that I really want a job is so that people will know that I'm alive. Now that, you know, Susan has passed and I'm, you know, finding a new place to live.
Well, you look great.
Thank you, my friend. No, my mother, I did my first year of law school. I mentioned I graduated from Pepperdine. I mean, from Willamette. I did my first year at Pepperdine. And I was almost finished. I was going to be an entertainment lawyer, and I was going to base down in California because Pepperdine's in Malibu. Mm-hmm. I get a call from
Opal. Tennis team.
I get, indeed, beautiful sports, beautiful things. I get a call from Opal at church, the Baptist church, and she says, your mother's had a stroke. She used to work for Consolidated Freightways for many years. And your mother's had a stroke. Come home immediately, pause, from my mother, after you finished your first year.
Wow.
So that was my mother, and so I came home, and this was in 81, and she passed August of that year, and she was 54 years old. Portland is a working-class town, and it had always been. People here, they have jobs. They do things.
We used to manufacture things.
Well, I was driving out by Precision Cast Parts, and I don't think they would say we used to.
Well, but they're the 500-pound elephant in the room. And, I mean, when I think about how many, yeah. Anyway, I want to throw my plan out the window and do something totally different. You two are really capturing my imagination. You're so different, and yet you're vibing to me. I'm saying that, Joe. I'm not allowed to endorse a candidate. So I want to ask you each to ask the other a question. Can I do that? Is that weird?
I see Joe. The control. You can do what
right.
you want to.
I see
to.
Joe as being part of a new, sort of new, I don't want to say class, a new community of people that have moved here in the past decade because it's beautiful. You know, when you talk about the problem of Portland weather is that it can rain and then suddenly it's a beautiful sunny day and that's the day everybody from New York visits and they all want to move over. Whatever. That's the problem we have.
That's the Governor McCall issue.
I know, Governor McCall. And it's weird how even the young people support him now. But Joe is kind of, he's kind of a young guard person. Kelly's kind of an old guard person.
I see
you guys diverging and I see you guys connecting. Like, can you ask each other a question? Joe, what question would you ask Kelly?
So I went to the National Powwow in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Meeting of Nations there. And I also went to the powwow out in Clackamas during a solstice a couple months back. So, yes, I definitely feel very connected to the Native community. And plus also the Homa Indians. There's a artist, Little Steve Williams. I interviewed him when I worked for Where Yat Magazine in New Orleans as a writer, entertainment writer.
Where Yat Magazine? That's adorable.
So my question to you would be, I have many ideas to get people outside from skyscraper observation decks to seasonal lighting to having the graffiti and art mural walls just many ideas for bringing people outside and bringing about this walking and pedestrian sort of like community and whatnot. And so my question to you would be, how would you bring people to simply walk in their own city? Because when I look around, I don't see people walking.
You guys could both be elected to office and you'll have to work with each other. This fascinates me. So what do you think, Kelly? What do you think? What do you think about, how would you encourage people to just go out and actually support another council person's initiative? I could throw that in there if you're both elected. What do you think about that?
Getting people to walk, a lot of it has to do with mobility issues. I forget where I was. There was one of these meetings. Oh, it was at the old church. They had a candidate forum. And everything was upstairs. Now, I tend to, in my car at this point in time, I have three canes. My mobility is pretty good, and I do like to walk some. But like in Southwest, and most of in our district, well, you're in the Pearl, which actually has sidewalks, or Northwest.
Well, I'm near the Trader Joe's. Yeah.
And so much of Southwest, where I was in Multnomah Village, have no sidewalks. And when you see people walking, I used to park my pickup in the front lot and sit and smoke a cigar. And when people were going too fast or not, I'd try and slow people down, just a little bit of traffic control. I office on Barbara Boulevard, which used to be and still is, 99W. In fact, your listeners may know that that used to be railroad tracks. It was railroad, and Multnomah Boulevard was also railroad. So a lot of the Southwest are railroad tracks and freeways and all these different communities that have been bifurcated. So trying to get people to walk and to get out, I think that's all part of the same issues that we've been talking about. It's how do we create community in a city that is inherently disjointed?
That's totally fascinating. So let me just say, though, what I hear you saying, Kelly, is that in terms of improving the vibe and getting people to come out, you're saying look at the infrastructure and make sure that there's the infrastructure available for people who have a hard time getting out. I don't have sidewalks in my neighborhood either.
Two of my main campaign issues are bringing about sort of like there's blinking lights. You press a button at Burnside and 8th Avenue Northwest, and you press it, and then there's blinking lights, which protects the pedestrian to walk across the street. There are so many places where we need to have these blinking lights. And also traveling to Tokyo a number of times, Japan, that the Shibuya crossing, it's like they have intuitive pedestrian walking ideas there that are in effect. And so it's sort of like, yeah, get like new like ways to get pedestrians safely across the street, because there's too many cars, and then there's bike lanes, and there's not enough bikes. So it's like we need to have more like respect for pedestrians.
Right. And in a minute, I'm going to ask Kelly to ask Joe a question. But this is fascinating to me because you're reminding me that many years ago, there used to be a pedestrian mall in downtown Portland, and it was ripped out and turned into a bus mall.
And one more thing, another proposal is mine, too, is to have a public speaker system where the city has speakers throughout the city playing the sounds of nature. And so, like, when people are walking, they hear birds whistling, the sound of ocean waves and whatnot. And so it's like if we were to put these speakers throughout the city where people are walking and bring, like, the stress level down, the vibe, and then people,
that was very specific.
I would respectfully disagree with that particular one, because a lot of people, when they walk, they are trying to concentrate, and they're actually wearing speakers and everything. When I talk to people, I tend to be I love people, always have. And I tend to talk to people.
This is for the background, not the foreground.
But that's the trouble, is in the city, there's so much noise and everything that if you have speakers, I'm afraid that it would be somewhat distracting, especially downtown.
Wait, before we get into a debate about this particular proposal, okay? No, Kelly. I want you to ask Joe a question, please. Mm-hmm. Ask him a question about his policies.
One of the issues that you mentioned was the concern about houselessness. How would you feel if, say, we took one of the buildings downtown, such as the one at 5th and Washington that's all boarded up, take out all the boards and bring back, not necessarily mounted patrol, but bring back horses to downtown and put the horses in that parking structure that's abandoned, and allow people and horses to commingle downtown? Do you think that would be positive, negative, or neutral?
And I looked at some of your proposals before coming here, and I'm familiar with this idea of this of yours. And yes, brilliant, absolutely. Because people, they love their pets, they love wildlife, they love nature. And so the fact that the city allowed REI to close down, which is kind of like emblematic of like the dysfunction of the city, it's sort of like, yeah, it's like. People like nature, people like wildlife, people like horses. In New Orleans, the horses, the police, they ride horses. It's like I used to live in the French Quarter, among many places. And yeah, the horses contribute so much to the feeling, and people pet the horses. And like, yeah, great idea.
Well, we used to have mounted patrols.
Yeah, Robert Ball, who is a developer, who was also a police auxiliary guy, he actually bankrolled that for a couple of years before it was completely kind.
And then and they said it was kiboshed because the state, you know, every time you have an idea or two, there's always a good reason not to do it. like the housing that we were mentioning, we've been in many of these discussions with, you know, for, and everyone's arguing about, you know, there's a bankroll of $60 billion or $1 million, and we're going to fight over it, and the, we're fighting with the county, we're fighting with the city. Portland right now, I mean, the voters chose this new system because the weak mayor and four councils, while that was a good idea, isn't as good as it used to be. When I was in high school, I interned with a commissioner named Mildred Schwab.
Wow.
And this, she let this 17-year-old, and I, you always learn by doing, and I learned that when you're filing, you do not pull out drawer number one and drawer number two, when the former mayor's secretary had put a beautiful vase of flowers on and they had poured into the file cabinet. So I was drying them out. And it was a funny mistake. But
you're so descriptive in your language.
You guys should have a show together. I feel like I'm just sitting in here, sitting between you. You guys should be podcasting.
Are you saying that you're a rose between the thorns, which I would have to agree with?
Wow. This is so big. Okay, I have to jump in here and say you are listening to Running on Air, a production of KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Today, we're speaking with candidates from District 4. I have here with me Joe Alphone and Kelly Doyle. Join the conversation by calling in your questions to the air room at 503-231-8187. Messaging us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. And let's get back to our discussion. I love what just happened there. I'm a little confused on it. I do have to say that REI was probably killed. It was closed because of union busting. But at the same time, the city does kind of have a control over the vibe. Nope, wait. Now we're shifting gears. We're going into conversation block four, all right? This is going to be lightning round, okay? What is your position on expanding Portland Street Response, Joe? Portland Street Response.
Any additional help that the city can get, sort of like in China, they have like neighborhood watches, like there's like booths like at the end of like street blocks there, and there's like an involvement with the city, and also like with the McGruff the crime dog, he used to say like, you know, take a bite out of the crime, and it's like whenever you have like neighborhood associations and street response organizations working in tandem with the police department, then there ends up being like an actual sort of like collaboration, and everybody works together. So yeah, they're supported.
Interesting. Sure. So Portland Street Response is that movement to take, it used to be people would call the police if there was an unhoused person or a person having a mental health crisis. And Portland Street Response is a program that was created to take all that away from the police and bring it more to emergency medical technicians, fire trucks. And it's very controversial because it was actually self-funding and self-supporting under Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. But then subsequent commissioners came and have started to dismantle it. So that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you support the Portland Street Response organization? Or
I voted for Joanne Hardesty all the time, even when she ran against let's not go there. But I think you're the question in that particular issue revolves around the voters, and I can't remember the measure when we said that we would not criminalize drug use. And then some of the, at least one of the congressional candidates on the other party is saying that that was a failed experiment. That was not a failed experiment. It was an experiment that was just starting and then they stopped it. So part of Portland Street Response and all of that goes back to the decriminalization of drug usage, which is fabulous. I mean, I've been a defense attorney for years and years, and you know, people will get into locking up people for drug use is bad. I was going to use an inappropriate word,
but
it's wrong. And so Portland Street Response is just one of the many ways that we can handle a problem that is endemic. jailing people for minor drug violations is wrong. And how we right that wrong is something that we will all have to work out and discuss. Did I answer that question?
I think you did. So this is going to be a lightning round. I'm going to ask you guys questions like that one. Another big issue on our survey was Portland's cost of living. We sort of touched on this earlier, but what would you do to impact Portland's cost of living, Joe?
Well, you know, I don't have an answer for that. But I don't. I feel as though when people turn to their politicians, turn to their leaders to give them answers to like improve everybody's lives, that like they're asking for some sort of like magic solution, and I don't have the answer to that. I'm sorry, I don't.
I appreciate your honesty. That's a good one. What's your take?
I agree with you, but let me flesh out your response a little bit. Portland's cost of living has always been deceptively low because we do not have a sales tax. And so they're always trying to raise revenue some way. And there is something on the ballot measure. One of those people say that it's just going to be a sales tax. And whether it will be or won't be, I think the cable listeners, you know, can understand and look at those issues. One thing that I have found is that, I do not think Portland's cost of living is that much more than surrounding states. I think it costs more to live in Seattle or San Francisco or definitely L.A. than it does in Portland. In fact, that's one of the draws to Portland, is that you can survive on a reasonable income.
Okay, we are running out of time. You go ahead and respond, Joe.
I just feel as though like hourly wage workers that work in the city, that although they can live here affordably, that there's so many violations from the people that run the businesses, that it's not a livable city. It's just not.
Right. I mean, the thing that gets me is just the real estate speculation. Anyone who's ever heard me on the air knows I'm a broken record about it. The real estate speculation has introduced a different note into the city.
But when you say that, one of the things that Commissioner Schwab told me, if you wanted to be an attorney to get your real estate license. So I got my real estate license in 1981. And at one time, when we had those licenses, the interest rates were at least 12 to 13% annually, and they have dropped down significantly since then. But interest rates and all of that creates housing issues.
All right, but I think wages do as well.
Oh,
right?
They do. That's wages why I'm running well. For a job.
Okay.
Because I've been, I'm often the attorney that people call. One of my clients said, Why is it you only call me when you've wasted your money with other attorneys? But that's another issue. Let's move on.
We do have only about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to jump to another issue. Come on, Joe.
There's just so much classism here. People are just not treated fairly in this city. It's a veil to think that there's like some sort of like liberal unity here, and that everybody's trying to help one another out. You know, I'm happy to live here, but the community is not here, and so that's why I'm here.
The vibes. Okay, no, wait. Well, we've got 4 minutes left. No. And I'm going to ask one last question, and then it's going to be the end of the
show.
And
I'll get to go first?
Sure. So the next question, what do you think is an issue facing Portland that's not getting enough attention?
Let him go first on that one, because
you get to choose, then. Fine. Go ahead.
Well, you already know. It's the
vibe.
It's all about the fact that graffiti artists are being treated unfairly, hourly wage workers are treated unfairly, the music community is trying to be co-opted by Live Nation. I would immediately revoke their license if I was elected. There's all these corporate entities that are just completely trying to destroy Portland and turn it into a bland, like no-name, nondescript city. And so that's the problem.
So this is interesting to me because Kelly had already said actually Portland is traditionally a working class place, and I think that's the contradiction. But now I want to go back to you. What do you think, Kelly, is the most important issue that no one's talking about? And we have 4 minutes.
I still think it is transit. Everyone sort of mentions it, but we need to coordinate. We need to have more buses that will run more often. Working people, you cannot get to a job if you have a job at 3 a.m. by bus.
My daughter, yeah. And she's a bike commuter, too. Well, that was fast. Okay, so now I'm going to pull out another question. What do you think the city's doing right now, Kelly?
I think the city is doing so many things right. I think we're a very tolerant city. I know that recently we had, you know, the Gay Pride March, and yet we also have certain clubs that cater to people who are gay, and yet sometimes that people will do slurs. Portland has this weird good vibe with real weird undertones.
Okay. We have to race now. Joe.
Yeah, I support the fire department, the police department, first responders. I think that they definitely contribute so much to the city. And the fact that there's, I went to the fire firefighters union discussion about a week ago, and I think that we need to have more of all of them because they're the ones that are the backbone of keeping the city functional. So yeah,
and I think that we need to have more people watching out for each other. The police are human; they're good people, and they're doing the best they can. I have so many friends who are in fire and family who've worked that, and Portlanders need to work together. I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to come to KBOO, and I have to tell you that over the years, I have always called it KBOO-BOO because we try and do the right thing. But
KB,
it's October. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, no,
I got to wrap up, and so
no,
I will
just
defer.
I just got so excited. What were you going to say, Joe? Were you going to respond?
Well, I was just going to bring up McGruff the crime dog again.
See, I know. I've got Joe is quoting McGruff the crime dog. I've got Kelly is probably a Michael Connelly character in a murder mystery novel. He's a defense attorney. He's like the Lincoln lawyer. You don't even know what I'm talking about. You got joy in your future. But, I mean,
well, I'm also a member of the federal bar, too.
Well, that doesn't make any of this different. And, you know what I was going to say, Joe? Like, what Kelly's talking about, people need to look out for each other more. Isn't that part of the vibe? Is that a vibe issue?
It is, but it's like, I find that, you know, maybe it's just like, you know, being like, you know, Southerner and whatnot and everything. People like say hello to strangers on the street. They make eye contact. And there's just kind of like, you know, like there's the Seattle and the Portland just like freeze where it's just like people are just like in their own sort of like, you know, mining space and whatnot. It's just like more of like, hi, hello, I don't want anything from you. We're friends. We're all in this together. We're all going to die one day. Hey, let's just like help each other.
If you want to be with people and meet people, go to the Goodwill bins. There's one at 17th, and I had to go there to get stuff after I was locked out of my apartment, and so I went. I'm now over at 24-hour fitness because I'm an old dude. They let me in for,
you know, but Redwood I needed to get. Old. You're not old.
But you're blowing. You guys are blowing my mind right now.
But I needed to get towels and everything, and that's how I met some people at the bins. But I noticed something was going on, and as I was driving, I saw a police car, and I rolled down. And I said, there were furtive movements on these cars at the bends, and the police said, thank you very much, and I went my way, and they went theirs.
You guys are blowing my mind right now because, first of all, you do have a lot of classes stuff going on, and then here you come out with the bins, and you have to take a shower at the health club. And, Joe, your whole vibe is a political issue for me now. That is the word I'm going to use. It is an umbrella term that includes a lot of things. And you have been listening to Running on Air, produced at KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. I've been here with Kelly Doyle and Joe Alfone from District 4. You can find all the episodes of Running on Air on the KBOO website. That's kboo.fm/runningonair. Episodes are also available wherever you get your podcasts. Our engineer and producer is Althea Billings, and our editor is Eric Leuschner. Tune into the next episode of Running on Air tomorrow at 7 p.m. It will be candidates for mayor. I've been your host, Lisa Loving. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance.